Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day, and that is what this show is all about. And I'm so glad that you could join us today. We got a good one. But what He said before we get into our show, that we take a time to just kind of quiet our minds, slow down a little bit, breathe. Isn't it true that for so many of us, from the time our feet hit the floor in the morning, getting out of bed, to the time we get back in, I mean, it's just run, run, run. It's so easy to get lost in the world of distraction because there are so many voices that are calling for your attention. Voices that are telling you to go here, do this and do that and wear this and eat that and take a vacation and take a picture and send it to your friend. And, you know, we just get so caught up in the gerbil wheel of existence. Do we ever take the time to just sit and be fed? To sit in the void, nothingness, which is where God lives, by the way. And God wants to speak to you. And the good news about the good news is He wants to lead you. And He does it in many, many ways. But one very powerful way is His Word, because it is alive. It will speak to you. The question is, will you listen? God's got a message for you today. We're going to school. The question is, are you ready to be the student? My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is as we read our gospel today and go through our lesson, that God will touch our hearts and draw us closer to Him. That's what the job of the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit speaks through this book. So what do you say? I quit yipping about it and we get right on into it. We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke. And we are in the 9th chapter, verses 51 through 62. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, He resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and He sent messengers ahead of Him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for His reception there, but they would not welcome Him because the destination of His journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to Him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest His head." And to another He said, "Follow Me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But He answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow You, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family and home." To him, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord. Wow, and what a gospel it is. This is very powerful. There's a whole lot here. This is a deep pool calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we are going to talk about mission. Our gospel today is found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And throughout the centuries, scripture scholars have identified the 9th chapter of Luke as a turning point. It is a transitional chapter. The 9th chapter of Luke is where you will find the Mount of Transfiguration. And we can look at that mountain as a dividing line. The first half of the ministry of Jesus climbs up one side of that mountain, while the second half slides down the other side. And our gospel today falls on the back side of that mountain. Jesus is turning his face to Jerusalem. And our gospel today puts its finger on a question, and it's a profound question. An important question, a question we should consider. And that question is this: what does it really mean to follow Jesus? If we are to call ourselves Christians, if we're going to wave that flag, what does that really look like? Does it mean that, well, I go to church on Sundays? Is that what it means? Does it mean that I'm just really nice to other people? I mean, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does that require? That is a complicated question, and that is a question we are going to answer today. But before we truly answer that question, we have to ask ourselves another question. And that question is this: is my mind made up? So let's talk about this. Like I said, we're in the 9th chapter of Luke. And of course, to really understand this little gospel, very snippet, small part, you would do very well to read the entire 9th chapter of Luke. It's not that long. And if you did, you would find there's a common thread that weaves throughout the 9th chapter of Luke. And that thread is ego. Ego is the balance of the intellect and emotion. Both very powerful forces, but between the two, the more powerful is emotion. As a result, emotion often drives intellect, which is where we get into problems. Certainly gets in the way when we are following Jesus, because, truth be told, ego stands for easing God out. Because as soon as the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I gets involved, we are no longer walking in the Spirit. Today, we will find ego on full display with James and John and others. So let's talk about this. The 9th chapter of Luke begins with Jesus sending out his disciples, and he gives them power and authority to cure the sick and cast out demons, which must have been pretty amazing. But he did, and they do. And Luke tells us that they were quite successful. Next up comes the feeding of the 5,000, which of course we talked all about last week. With just 5 loaves and 2 fish, a huge crowd is fed with leftovers. Again, must have been incredible. Next comes Peter's confession, where Peter is clearly illuminated as he declares Jesus as the Son of the living God, the Messiah. Soon they're climbing the Mountain of Transfiguration, and as they climb down the other side, we see the devastating effects of ego. You might remember this story. After having this amazing mountaintop experience where Jesus had started to glow and Moses and Elijah showed up, they came off the mountain, and what's the first thing they ran into? A problem, which when you think about it, is kind of how life is. One moment you can be on top of the mountain, everything's great. Next moment you're in the valley and you are dealing with the problem, which is exactly what happened to the disciples. They came across a demon-possessed boy that they could not cure. Remember now, they had just returned from their mission trip where they had been very successful. They had cast out many demons. They had cured many people. But they cannot help this boy. Why? Well, may I suggest the reason why is ego. May I suggest the reason why they could not cure the boy is because they had started to believe in themselves. And like I said, as soon as me, myself, and I get involved, Holy Spirit can't move. Now, the reason I suspect this is the case is because of what transpires shortly in the 42nd verse. An argument breaks out among the disciples. And you know what it's about? Who's the greatest? It's funny, isn't it? You know what that's all about? Ego. Easing God out. That's what that's all about. The moment we start thinking it's somehow about us, guess what? We lose. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. Now, we've talked about this a time or two in the past, but the Greek language is much more precise than the English language. Consequently, there are many times where much is lost in translation, and such is the case today with the words "when the days were fulfilled." When these days, or when the days. I mean, we read that, when the days. Okay, who cares, when the days. But in Greek, no. The Greek word is simplaro, and that word simplaro means to be swamped with water. So these days are not just normal run-of-the-mill days. No, no, no. The flood is beginning to pour in. Jesus is turning his face to Jerusalem, and he knows what's coming, and what's coming is not pretty. So he's in a place where he's being swamped. The ship is going down. You know, it kind of reminds me of that old song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Remember that song? I love that song. It's based on a true story. And Gordon Lightfoot really captures this word simplaro with the words, "When supper time came, the old cook came up on deck, said, 'Fellas, it's too rough to feed ya.' At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, 'Fellas, it's been good to know ya.'" Wow. Ever been there? Have you ever been faced with simplaro, where there is no plan B? That's where Jesus is now. But of course, in his case, it's a little different, because he is very much the mastermind of his own death, which is something that I think that we don't think too much about. But, you know, he could have bailed out at any time he wanted. He even says, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to freely pick it up again." But thank God he doesn't. Because through his death and suffering, he purchased the greatest gift that this world has ever been given. Of course, I'm talking about eternal salvation, which is something that we need to keep in mind when we are going through simplaro, because we will. Jesus never promised us a trouble-free life without any pain or suffering if we follow him. He told us that we would go through trials. He told us we would go through storms. Remember that parable about the house that's built on rock and the house built on sand? Remember that? And he says, and when the storms came, they buffeted the house. Didn't say if. He said, when? Because storms are going to come. Who knows? You might be going through a storm right now. If so, hold on. As Paul wrote to the Romans, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, not even death itself. So hold on. Jesus is going to get you through your storm. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. Now I want to talk about that word resolutely. What does that word really mean? Well, I looked it up. It means firmness of purpose, regardless of danger. To journey resolutely is like a soldier going behind enemy lines. He knows that there is a chance he might not survive, but he is determined. Why? Because he has made the decision that he's going to carry out his mission. There's no turning back, and this is our first clue as to what is required to follow Jesus. We've got to make our mind up. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because his destination of his journey was Jerusalem. Now, we've talked about this a time or two before, but the history between the Samaritans and the Jews is complex. Really all kind of started in the Babylonian conquest. When Babylonia conquered Israel, they flooded Samaria with no less than five different ethnic groups from other lands that they had conquered. And they did this intentionally, figuring if they could dilute the national identity, they would quell any possible revolt. Now, when it came to Samaria, after they had carried off the majority of the men into captivity as slaves, those who are left behind, a lot of them, married with these foreigners, thus mixing Jewish blood. And to the devout practicing Jew, that's a big no-no. So the Samaritans are considered dogs, but that's not all. They worship the same God as Jews, Yahweh, but they had vastly different opinions as to how Yahweh and where Yahweh should be worshipped. The Samaritans believed that Yahweh should be worshipped on a mountain in the middle of their own territory called Mount Gerizim, while the Jews were insistent that Yahweh is only to be worshipped in the temple in Jerusalem. So these people, they're not fans of each other. In fact, they hate each other. And the mere idea that Jesus would pass through the Samaritan village was unthinkable. And it's no surprise that they were not received warmly. So here comes James and John. I love these guys. The sons of thunder. Hey, Jesus, would you like us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? Really? Here we go again, ego. They're not receiving us with the respect that we deserve, so let's kill them all. Let's call down fire and burn them up. Really? You can't make this stuff up. This request is rooted in Jewish history, very much related to the prophet Elijah, whom they had just, by the way, seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. You can read all about it in 1 Kings. That's a book in the Old Testament. Elijah calls down fire and burns up 400 priests of Baal. But can you imagine? They want to burn up all the Samaritans. And what does Jesus want to do? Go to another village. And there's a real lesson here for us. When things don't go our way, so many of us allow this world to twist us up and fill us with hate and resentment, and we allow our ego to block the Spirit. Meanwhile, Jesus said, hey, let's just go to another village. In other words, shake it off. Why? Because he's focused forward, not back. Jesus doesn't have time for that nonsense. His focus is on the mission, the big picture, the long game, which, in case you forgot, is to bring salvation to this world, which is what this gospel is really all about. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. In other words, you want to follow me? It's going to cost you. In other words, while we might want God to fit into our lives, what happens when it's going to cost us? What happens when it gets a little uncomfortable? And to another, he said, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But to him, Jesus answered, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, this has been a very confusing verse over the centuries for many people, because it seems to suggest that this man's father has just died and Jesus is telling him he can't go to the funeral. But that's not what's going on. When this man says, let me go bury my father first, what he's saying is, let me take care of my family affairs first. Then I'll get to you. I'll work in. It's not that his father has just died. But let's just say for argument's sake that his father did just happen to die. It would have been the Jewish custom that he be placed in a tomb that day. And a mourning period would commence for a year. Then after a year, the tomb would be reopened, the bones would be collected and placed in a box called an ossuary, and then buried. So even if he had just died, it would be a year before he could follow Jesus. In other words, let me take care of my affairs, and I'll get to you someday. I'll get to you after a while. Which is the story of Christianity, someday after a while. And you know what the problem is with someday? You know what the problem is with after a while? It never comes. Because someday is not a day of the week. And another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me say farewell to my family first. Which sounds like a very reasonable request. But what he's really saying is, let me get ready, which again is a universal problem with Christianity. We spend all our time getting ready. Some of us spend our whole lives getting ready. But to him, Jesus says, no one who sets his hand to the plow and looks what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. You want to know why? Because you can't plow a straight line looking backwards any more than you can ride a bicycle looking backwards. That's not going to work out for you. It all comes down to this, my friend. Have you made your mind up? Or are you going to spend your whole life getting ready? Jesus is calling you today. Are you going to answer the call? Or are you going to get to it someday? You know, after a while. So, back to where we started. How can I follow Jesus? What do I need to do? Well, I can think of three things. Number one, seek His will in my life. Seek the quiet voice. First thing in the morning. I have found that if you don't check in first thing in the morning, God's real hard to catch up with in the afternoon. So that's number one. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to subjugate my ego. Ask Him to rein it in. Not my will, Lord, Your will be done. We are at war between flesh and spirit. Ask God to equip you for the battle. And then number three, look for an opportunity to carry the message. Watching the field in front of you, not behind you. And it could be as simple as a kind word. Or looking for the opportunity to be of service to other people. And should the opportunity present itself, share our testimony. My friends, there's a mission going on. Won't you be part of it? Time to come out of the bleachers and get into the game. Will you follow Him today? Is your mind made up? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Remember, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.